Hello. This is the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper for the week ending Friday, the 25th of June, 2021. The extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle this week have been edited by Angela Ling, Jane Thomas and Sue Gannaway. Your readers today are Nikki Baring.
Hello.
And Vara Williams.
Hello.
And I am your presenter, Tom Williams. The main headlines this week are nursery closure impacting families, effort to prevent A33 rating is a success, and police clamp down on rural crime. So may we have the first story behind the first headline, please, Nikki?
Which was nursery closures impacting families. Parents have been left in the lurch after Winchester nurseries have decided to close their doors, with families having to find alternative childcare. The Lido Nursery School and Activity Club in Worthy Lane suddenly closed after a damning Ofsted report which branded the provision as inadequate. A complaint was made surrounding welfare concerns at the nursery in April, and the Education Watchdog ordered it to act to ensure that the minimum adult-to-child ratios are met at all times and that staffing arrangements meet the needs of all children attending. But it failed to do so by the time inspectors visited on May the 17th. According to the report published on June the 14th, staff are unable to offer children consistent levels of teaching to extend and challenge their development. For example, staff frequently leave the room to answer the door or obtain equipment. This leaves insufficient staff available to meet the children's needs, which at times has a negative impact on their learning and the intent of the curriculum. They also observed that staff were not vigilant and failed to notice that children spent long periods of time out of sight in the toilets. This was only addressed when the inspectors notified them. The nursery is run by Hartley House Montessori Limited, whose director is Susan Hartley Raven. Mrs. Hartley Raven was the founder of Norman Court School in West Titherley, which closed following concerns for pupil safety and the way trustees were running the school. Families in Kingsworthy have also been left saddened as Kingsworthy Preschool has announced that it will close in December. As previously reported, the provision is operated out of two rooms in Kingsworthy Primary School, but the licence on one of those, the Willow Room, is not being renewed, which would reduce intake. Parents have started a petition calling for a solution to be found and save the preschool. At the time of publication, the petition has been signed by 249 people. A statement from parents of children at the preschool said, "As parents, we're incredibly saddened to hear the preschool is closing, especially as there's been no consultation with the community it was set up to serve. We're looking forward to working with the primary school, Hampshire County Council, and the community to explore every possible way of keeping the preschool open. The primary school and Hampshire Services for Young Children will be seeking tenders for a new preschool to operate on site." Jamie Dodson, head teacher at Kingsworthy Primary School, said, "For some time now it has been clear that we needed a dedicated space to use with our younger pupils to help them catch up after COVID closures, and in particular to support our growing number of pupils who have additional needs. It is regrettable that individuals have chosen to blame this decision on Kingsworthy School when we are acting to support our most vulnerable pupils at an unprecedented time."
Effort to prevent A33 racing is a success. The police effort to prevent horse and trap racing on the A33 was a success in more ways than one. Officers were out in force on Saturday, June the 19th, to stop an unauthorised event that was planned for the weekend. Not only did the police presence deter any racing, but 11 motorists were dealt with. One motorist was dealt with for drugs offences, three were dealt with for drink driving, A wanted man was arrested for failing to appear at court. One was for driving whilst unfit during drink or drugs, and five vehicles were seized for having no insurance. Donna Jones, Police and Crime Commissioner, said, A huge thank you and well done must be attributed to Hampshire Constabulary for the successful operation at the weekend on the A33. This is a key A road in the centre of Hampshire, and the illegal activities last month from the GRT community, which saw them close the road for pony trap racing and illegal gambling, affected thousands of people who live in the area. A follow-up event was planned for this weekend, and as a consequence, Hampshire Constabulary took appropriate and necessary measures to keep the road open and the public safe. Thank you to all involved, including neighbouring forces who sent mutual aid. I continue to support their work in preventing any similar future events. Winchester MP Steve Brine visited the police on site on Saturday. He said, "I wanted to thank Hampshire Police and colleagues from Sussex who came to help for a visible and consistent presence and patrol this weekend to prevent a repeat of any illegal pony and trap racing. To be clear, the police are in this for the long haul, and this is being watched like hawks. We promise to grip this, and greatly helped by the leadership of new PCC Donna Jones, we have done just that." Hampshire Constabulary has thanked the local community for understanding the decision to allocate significant resources to the A33 and surrounding roads.
The third headline also is about the police and is headed, "Police Clamp Down on Rural Crime." Winchester Police joined forces with partnership agencies to clamp down on crime in rural areas. Officers from the district's Greater Neighbourhood Policing Team worked with Country Watch and the Roads Policing Unit. Supported by the Environmental Agency and Winchester City Council, they stopped 55 vehicles in the district and 29 incidents were dealt with. 7 PG9 prohibition notices were issued for vehicle defects. 2 vehicles were seized for driving without insurance. 2 vehicles were searched under Section 23 of the Misuse of Drugs Act. 11 traffic endorsement offences such as bald tyres were dealt with. 5 people were referred to the Environmental Agency for issues with waste carrier licences. And 2 vehicles were dealt with by the DVSA for being overweight. PC Ian Bassett of the Country Watch team said, "These days of action are important for us to address ongoing issues and to provide reassurance to our communities that we take their concerns seriously. We use an intelligence-led approach and will use whatever tactics necessary to disrupt and deter criminality. I am aware that there has been a significant rise in the theft of catalytic converters in the area. Operations such as these go a long way to disrupt those involved in this type of offence. I would like to assure residents and landowners that we take rural crime extremely seriously. We are conducting patrols in rural areas, but we would urge anyone to ensure as far as possible that they to secure and alarm their buildings and property mark their equipment. Consider installing CCTV, tracker devices, automatic security lights and intruder alarm systems. Try not to leave any valuables in your vehicles and where possible park in well-lit areas or keep your vehicles secure in a garage. Rural crime is a priority for us, and we will continue to relentlessly pursue suspects. The community are our eyes and ears, and we encourage you to report all incidents as soon as you are able to by calling 101 if it is not an emergency. If it is happening there and then, always call 999. Now we continue with the obituary notices.
And here they are. Faulkner. Elaine Fidelity Faulkner, aged 79. Lease. Mandy Lease. Peacefully at home. McCree. Harry McCree, OBE. Peacefully at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, aged 94. Piper, Michael John Piper, peacefully at home, age 76. And Smith, Shirley Diane Smith, also peacefully at home, aged 76. And finally, Waterer, Edward George Waterer, after an illness bravely borne.
Christian comment this week is read by Nikki. Thank you, Nikki.
And it's headed back to the House of God, and it's Nigel Hemming, Senior Pastor, Winchester Vineyard Church. I can't wait for the day when we can sing together inside. Many churches adapted to lockdown quickly by moving their services online. Instead of gathering together in one space, congregations united over the internet for preaching, prayer and corporate worship. Needs must. And it was certainly better than no connection at all. But honestly, singing along to your laptop is a vastly different experience from singing in a crowd of enthusiastic worshippers. Virtual church does have its advantages, though. You can enjoy a lazy Sunday breakfast while tuning in, and you don't have to get dressed properly to church. We're also saving time by not travelling or socialising, and when the service is over, it's easy to move on to the next part of the day. But despite all this, I'm desperate to get back to meeting together in person. There's a unique dynamic when a congregation gathers in the same room and raises our voices in a united song of praise. We go to church to be with others on the journey, reflecting together on the truths of the Bible and listening for the whisper of the Spirit. The very act of doing this together is what makes it special. I think this is what King David is getting at in Psalm 122, which begins, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" The psalm describes journeying towards the Jerusalem temple, an important devotional space where God's presence dwelt physically with his people. The temple was a real place, but the temple metaphor is also used throughout the Bible to describe any context where people connect with God, from the Garden of Eden to Jesus himself, and latterly his body, the church. The focus is not on the building, but house of the Lord can describe any setting where God's people are deliberately gathering together to worship and meet with him. This is something which churches are increasingly able to do as lockdown eases. We can't yet sing inside with our masks off, but it's surely not far away. Some of us have lost sight of the joy of gathering for worship. Perhaps we've tried joining in on Zoom or Facebook, but find we just can't engage. Some of us have struggled to work the tech and just can't tune in, leaving us feeling isolated. Some of us are nervous about being close to people again, or we've just got out of the habit. Do you know anyone who is feeling like that? Why not reach out to them? Maybe offer to help them get along to church again. As David joyfully anticipates his arrival in Jerusalem, so we joyfully anticipate gathering again as a local congregation. Let's look out for one another and encourage one another as together we make our way back to the house of God. And that was Nigel Hemming, Senior Pastor at Winchester Vineyard Church.
Turning to letters to the editor, the first letter is from Hazel Agambar and is headed North Walls Rec. Sir, we live in one of the most nature-depleted countries in the world during a period of climate crisis. As the result of the park plan consultation are reviewed, we urge Winchester City Council to put the core principles of its Biodiversity Action Plan, BAP 2021, at the heart of its decision-making. The BAP states, "We will strive to be an exemplar when managing our own habitats, whether they be wildflower parkland or any future renewable energy sites." In addition, the BAP states that the Council will pledge to use all our influence to try and make biodiversity net gain a priority for new developments. The majority of the proposed plans for the North Walls Park directly contradict these principles. They seek to unnecessarily formalise and structure the green space. Tower sculptures and hard-standing areas, etc., will negatively impact upon the park's biodiversity and wildlife, while also increasing its carbon footprint. Artificial structures also require funding for long-term maintenance and protection from vandalism. Northwalls Park is a popular, well-loved space, highly valued for its natural assets, the trees, the grass, the open sky, and the many waterways. A huge variety of species make the park their home, and it is the unstructured nature of itself that is the draw. Air pollution in Winchester's city centre continues to exceed legal limits. The park is considered by many to be the green lungs of the city, an area that offers residents and visitors the chance to breathe cleaner air. The expanse of unadulterated greenery is known to benefit mental health. Wilder Hyde urges Winchester City Council not to be distracted by the desire for human convenience, which would undoubtedly spoil a much-treasured natural green space. Rather, it must stand up for nature and do all in its power to enable her... Stand up for nature, sorry, and enable all in its power to enable her and ultimately all of us to thrive. Hazel Agambar, Egbert Road, Hyde. And the second letter will be read by Vara.
Moorside Closure from Roger Bright, Chairman of Trustees at St John's Winchester Almshouses. I refer to Mr D. Ball's letter, Chronicle the 10th of June, regarding the proposed closure of our Moorside nursing home. I thank Mr Ball for his kind comments regarding the quality of care at Moorside. Our trustees made the proposal to close the home, now affirmed, with a heavy heart. The charity subsidises the cost of care for most of the residents, drawing on income from its investment portfolio. Unfortunately, with an increasing subsidy for the home and decreasing income from the portfolio, resulting partly from COVID impacts, the home is not sustainable going forward. Mr. Ball points out that our last annual accounts show we have £15.4 million worth of so-called unrestricted reserves, and asks, understandably, what are those for, if not to care for its most vulnerable residents? These reserves, though, are not freely available for the most part. More than £5.9 million of the £15.4 million is accounted for in the value of the Moorside property and works carried out to almshouses in the last 50 years, an illiquid asset. Some £3.4 million represents a repairs and rebuilding reserve to maintain our commercial property portfolio, which in itself can only be deployed to generate income for the charity. In addition, it includes reserves of £2.3 million designated for the repair of charitable property almshouses and Moorside, and an accumulated income reserve of £3.75 million. These last two are being used in part to fund our Colebrook Street development of 15 new almshouses, which has already begun, and to maintain a prudent income reserve, what might be termed a rainy day fund, often equivalent to 6 to 12 months net income to cover one-off unexpected emergencies. Accordingly, the vast majority of our unrestricted reserves are accounted for, and applying the balance against annual deficits incurred in Moorside would soon threaten the financial stability of St John's. I hope that the government's planned social care review will tackle the chronic underfunding of social care, which would certainly help care homes like Moorside. From Roger Bright, Chairman of Trustees, St John's Winchester Almshouses, The Broadway, Winchester.
And from Julia Stoll, or Stolly, headed Why Quarantine? Sir, I recently returned from a trip to Germany to visit my elderly parents, something families in the UK have now been allowed to do for quite some time. On my return, I had to quarantine for 10 days. On top of the quarantine, everyone arriving from an amber-listed country must book 2 PCR tests to be taken on day 2 and day 8. The cost starts at roughly £100 upward to The cost starts at roughly £100 up to several hundred pounds, depending on the provider. The test for day 2 arrived late, and last time the test for day 8 never arrived. After several emails to the provider, I never received a refund. I have the uncomfortable feeling that someone is making money by selling the tests but not actually providing a service. Currently, the infection rate in Germany and many other European countries is much lower than the UK. In other words, the country I departed from is experiencing transmission of lower intensity compared to the country of my arrival. The risk of anyone returning from Germany and many other places in Europe of bringing back COVID is lower compared to those travelling in the UK and spreading the virus within the country. That raises the question why people have to pay for COVID tests that are not necessary and are kept in quarantine. There are 3.6 million Europeans living in the UK and approximately 1.3 million UK citizens living in other European countries. So roughly 4.9 million people and their families who may not be able to visit their loved ones, although it would be totally safe to do so. And that's from Julia Stolle, Oliver's Battery Road South, Winchester.
Dr. Graham Wynyard says, makes no sense. Sir, as your editorial says, it cannot make sense to cut public health services while a global pandemic still rages. That was chronicled June the 17th. Hampshire County Council argues that they have no good choices, but basic political accountability is clear. This is a Conservative council implementing budget cuts imposed by a Conservative government. Billions have been wasted centrally on the ineffective privately run track and trace system. We are asked to believe that there is no money available for basic local public health services that support some of the most vulnerable parts of our society. COVID has highlighted the importance of investment in good health. We are offered the opposite. Voters can draw appropriate conclusions in future elections, as they did in Amersham and Chesham. And that's from Dr. Graham Wynyard, CBE, FRCP, FFPH of Christchurch Road, Winchester.
Open the 50-metre pool to swimmers, says David Wolfe. It is such a shame that everyone active has chosen not to offer 50-metre lane-length swimming at the newly opened Winchester Sport and Leisure Park. The 50-metre pool is the jewel in the crown of the new Winchester Sport and Leisure Park, and long awaited by both amateur swimmers and more serious athletes. I cannot find anything in the latest Swim England, Returning to the Pool, Guidance for Operators, that prohibits such sessions. Whilst it is possible that dividing the pool into 2 separate spaces allows a wider variety of activities to take place, I fail to understand why everyone active cannot, on a limited number of occasions per week, open the pool to its full length and run 50-metre lane-length sessions. I accept that they will lose the ability to offer customers any activity other than lengths, which in turn would mean fewer customers and less revenue. Maybe this is the real reason why they will not allow 50-metre sessions now. Whether it is or not, please be honest and admit it has nothing to do with COVID restrictions. David Wolfe of Easton.
And this from Peter Hargreaves, Worthy Lane. New police boss. Sir, in 2012, Donna Jones was a Conservative candidate for selection to be the first police and crime commissioner for Hampshire. The selection process at Fareham was heavily contested. I had been selected to serve on the selection process. All the way through, Donna Jones stood out as an outstanding candidate. On her final presentation, she was head and shoulders over every other candidate with her long experience and knowledge and involvement in local government and people affairs. Excuse me. When it was announced that Michael Mates had been elected, many of us had been devastated, particularly as his final presentation had been a disaster and concentrated mostly on the many positions he had held in the party and government. Consequently, we decided that we would not support his election campaign, even though he was the official Conservative candidate. We fought a vigorous campaign against his election and eventually succeeded, even though as the official Conservative candidate he should have had a walkover. The hierarchy in the East Hampshire Conservative Party never forgave me for Mr. Mates' defeat. But I have no regrets. He was a poor choice. As a result of my campaign, the local Conservative Party has blackballed me ever since. I have never received any communication by letter, campaign material, or any invitation to meetings or events. The only communication I receive are letters to renew my annual party membership. Even letters of complaint to two National Party chairmen remain unanswered. When it comes to making people disappear, the party must have had training from Russia. I'm delighted that Donna Jones has at long last been elected to bring her many talents to serve as our police and crime commissioner. An indication of things to come is that on election she immediately indicated to the chief constable that she expects that she has plans to ensure there would be no more road closures on the A33 by illegal pony and trap events. Well done, Donna. I know we can look forward to a substantial improvement in policing and dealing with crime in Hampshire. And that from Peter Hargreaves, Worthy Lane, Hyde, Winchester.
And Rosemary Chambers tells us about her lockdown reading. Sir, in response to Ron Allison's A Lifetime Joy of Reading, Chronicle, June the 10th, without a pang of conscience, I have avoided spending lockdown baking sourdough bread or the comfort food of spaghetti cake, recommended recently. But I have escaped into the worlds of William Boyd, Andrea Levy, Anna Burns, Rose Tremaine, and Maggie O'Farrell. I have cried with moral indignation over the life of Shuggie Bain and the beekeeper of Aleppo, and I've been affronted by the racism in Tyrese Jones's An American Marriage and in Mark Sullivan's Beneath a Scarlet Sky. I have vowed to change the world thoroughly through Wilding by Isabel Tree and The Uninhabitable Earth. I have been bored out of my mind by The Luminaries. I have sung with the Crawdads, and I am grateful for the food I have eaten during this time of crisis, unlike those who survived on the simple rations of World War II, as described in William Sitwell's biography of Lord Walton, Eggs and Anarchy. I was in no hurry for lockdown to end, as my next reading will be Middlemarch. But that is from Rosemary Chamber of the Soak, Alsford.
Simon Lever has had an awesome walk. There is no doubt John Keats is an icon of Winchester, Chronicle, June the 10th. Walking along pathways beside the River Itchen certainly releases the imagination and is indeed a favourite walk of many. There is certainly a link between nature and humanity. Birdsong, quaking ducks, I think they mean quacking ducks, and swans supreme, their angel's wings offering a splendour of elegance. The water meadows past St. Catherine's Hill and beyond into Winchester city centre is simply awesome. And that's from Simon Lever, Juniper Close, Badger Farm, Winchester.
And this from M. Owens, headed Idiot Drivers. Sir, why do people drive so badly when dropping off and picking their kids at dancing classes? Is it a law that they need to drive like such idiots? I'm sure the kids don't need to be picked up in the foyer by car. Here's an idea. Try parking a couple of hundred yards from Hyde Hall and walking safely up to the hall. I'm sure the kids won't mind. Sorry, I forgot about the drive like an idiot law. That's from M. Owens, Hyde Street, Winchester.
That concludes the letters. And if you wish to contact the Hampshire Chronicle, you can telephone 01962 860836. That's 01962 860836. You can email news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or you can write to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. First person this week is read by Vara and will be followed by Hampshire Chronicle comment read by Nikki.
And this is entitled Pinged by the NHS app, and it's written by Khalid Aziz. It was all going so well. Having come through unscathed over a year of pandemic lockdowns and social distancing and nearly 2 months since our second vaccination, we thought it might be safe to venture out of Hampshire. So off we set for a two-night break in a swish country house hotel near Stratford-upon-Avon for a little R&R and light cultural input. They seemed pretty relaxed when we arrived. No temperature taking, but the young staff, mostly a mix of Iberian and Black country, both with delightfully impenetrable accents, were duly masked up, as were we as we moved about the place. There followed an open-topped bus tour of Stratford and a bit of mooching about along the river and up to Shakespeare's birthplace. The sun shone and the town was en fête, glorious. We returned home basking in normality. Surprising, then, to be pinged by the NHS COVID app. You know, the one where you scan a QR code as you enter a hospitality premises. You have been in contact with someone who has tested positive for COVID. You have to self-isolate for 9 days, said my phone screen, helpfully pulsating in red to drive the point home. That was last Thursday, the day before I was due to attend the ICC Test Match final between India and New Zealand at the Hampshire Bowl. Never have I been so thankful for rain at a cricket match. It bucketed down and there was no play on the first day, so I'm in for a full refund. I was due there on the Saturday, but fortunately managed to find another friend who could take my ticket. And so we unravelled the ensuing days of our lives until the due release date. We had no symptoms, and thanks to tech, we can do many things from home. I reminded a somewhat tetchy Mrs. A that, as per the advice from Professor Whitty, although asymptomatic, we could still be infected and capable of spreading what was almost certainly the Delta variant, formerly known as the one from India, which is apparently uber-transmissible. Sharing our plight with family and friends on social media was a revelation. Some almost mockingly responded, "That's why we never downloaded the app, you damn fool," or "That's why we deleted it." Coupled with stories of friends having been to Greece, the Balearics and France, averring it was dead easy, it made us feel so much better. I always knew that altruism was a long-term self-interest, but in a world of instant gratification, it seems it's the short-term that really guides most of us. Still, we could watch England play Scotland in the Euros. News footage of the tartan army descending on London failed to point out, in the usual breathless reporting, that there was little sign of social distancing amongst the jocks and no sign of the Met boys doing any enforcement. And don't get me started about the aftermath in Leicester Square, showing the normally delightful flower beds trampled into a muddy mess. Of course, there are different rules for football. Silly me. Now there's talk of the double-vaxxed being excused self-isolation. But we need more time to study this. Boris has been granted another month. But increasingly, it seems the wheels are falling off the compliance bandwagon. At one end, you have us, supinely compliant, and at the other, the anti-vaxxers, sowing seeds of doubt in the often feeble-minded. In the middle, those who have been quietly ignoring the advice. Their name is Jack, and they're all right. There's an increasingly ringing sound in my ear. It's the one which says, we're going to have to learn to live with COVID. Indeed we are. Still, at least I shall be sprung in time for the England-Sri Lanka T20 on Saturday.
And this is editorial comment. Well done over A33 racing clampdown. Hampshire Constabulary and the new Police and Crime Commissioner, Donna Jones, are to be congratulated over the operation that prevented the illegal pony and trap racing on the A33 near Mitchell-Deva last weekend. A repeat of the anarchy of May 1 and 2 would have blighted Miss Jones' tenure in the role, fatally undermining public confidence in her ability to oversee the police. A repeat of outnumbered police officers standing by whilst hundreds of travellers enjoyed their sport would have made Hampshire a laughingstock. But any self-congratulations should be short-lived. The traveller community has shown scant regard for any civic objections in the first place by hijacking the A33 and, given an opportunity, would do so again. Any effort to persuade them to hire private land for racing would likely be wasted. So it means that a financially hard-pressed police force will have to invest resources, taxpayers' money, in intelligence gathering to get early warning of future events. Whatever transpires, the stakes are now high. A repeat of the racing really would be a challenge.
Belgarum's alternative look at the news this week is headed Water Sports for Otters Along the Weirs, and has two photographs of rather strange structures inside the in the water along the weirs in the river. And the text says, no, not ski jumps for otters. The photo on the left shows the first stages of protecting the riverbank to allow constructors to get access to the walkway and undertake the work to protect the structure. The City Council has been undertaking work along the weirs for a year to stop the promenade getting undermined by the relentless action of the river. Most of the work has taken place at the end close to Wharf Mill. Now this week's announcements. Lighting Up Time ends on Friday the 25th of June 2021 at 4:52 a.m. and begins at 9:24 p.m. On Wednesday the 30th of June it ends at 4:54 a.m. and begins at 9:24 p.m. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please telephone the contact number, which is on the key fob attached to the memory stick. Now we continue with items of general news, and the first item is read by Nikki. Thank you, Nikki.
And this is headed, Reaction to Stepping Back of Bishop Tim. Church people take to internet to discuss crisis in Winchester Diocese. Insights into the chronic problems within the Winchester Diocese have been given by church people on the internet. The Bishop of Winchester, the Reverend Tim Dakin, stepped back last month after facing the prospect of a vote of no confidence at the Diocesan Synod. Many church people are unhappy at his management style over the last decade. It has seen an emphasis on mission work whilst cutting back traditional village posts. He has been replaced temporarily by the Bishop of Southampton, the Right Reverend Debbie Sellin. Neither the bishop nor the diocese have commented on no local church people wanting to speak publicly about the issue. Angela Tilby, a contributor to BBC Radio 4's Thought for the Day, wrote in Church Times, giving insight into the background to the crisis. Quotes, Dr. Dakin's appointment in 2011 was in line with the diocese's stated priorities for mission and growth. He came with a conservative theology and extensive leadership experience in Uganda and at the Church Mission Society. He quickly made his mark as a mission-oriented disturber, one whose instinct is to move fast and break things, and he broke quite a lot of things. I remember the shiver that we felt in Oxford Diocese when we heard of the sacking of the entire continuing ministerial development team. In Winchester, he broke links with southern-based training schemes and developed a bespoke one, started lay training without selection procedures, and made clear his preference for successful megachurches over declining rural parishes. Parish clergy found themselves being reprimanded if they failed to achieve targets for growth. A significant proportion of priests in the Northern Archdeaconry have recently been persuaded to accept voluntary redundancy. Dr. Dakin still has supporters, but even among those who share his theology, there is disquiet at his style. It is no secret that Winchester has become known as the North Korean diocese. The Thinking Anglican website has more than 350 comments on the story, including David Richards, who said, "This has been brewing for some time. While I can appreciate how awful it must be for the bishop to be in the spotlight like this, and can even sympathise with him, I'm afraid the responsibility rests at his feet, in my opinion. From the moment he arrived in the diocese, he was quite clear that he knew what was needed to wake up sleepy Winchester. He failed, or refused, to listen to the long experience of those already in post, while adopting an arm's-length approach. The local media was aghast that he refused to give interviews before his enthronement, because he claimed he was far too busy. He even managed to upset the Lord Lieutenant by declining an invitation to a county gathering by telling her it was his day off. Curates were put on compulsory furlough last year with a lack of pastoral bedside manner that would make Putin brush. Anyone who challenged the direction of travel was effectively told to grin and bear it or leave." Father Dean Henley said, "As to stepping back for 6 weeks, I'd suggest Dr. Dakin spend those weeks in the toughest parish in Southampton with the clergy there and taking a few funerals at the Creme for ordinary people. He could set aside an hour a day for conversations with Bishop Selin, but otherwise fully immerse himself in parish life. Christians are by and large a forgiving lot, and the experience might be educative and also go a long way to rehabilitating his standing in the diocese." James Watson said, "To accept a senior bishopric on the grounds that it gives you opportunity to take a sledgehammer to an established ecclesiology without first weighing up the likely consequences, as well as being willing to inflict significant human collateral damage along the way, is just one sign of what looks like unfettered arrogance. Second, I am assuming that 6 weeks is just a temporary measure to allow the bishop to process the severity of the situation, which has implications well beyond Winchester, before he makes plans to move to a different sphere of ministry. There is very little realistic prospect of him being able to lead a functioning diocese after this. There is too much disaffection."
Toy shop closure. One of Winchester's staple independent shops is set to close its doors for good. The Toy Cupboard in St George's Street has announced that it is permanently shutting after June the 30th. It has been in the city centre for more than 25 years and is easily recognised by its green paintwork and the giant figurines either side of the entrance door. A post on the independent company's Facebook page says, "It's the end of an era for the Toy Cupboard, Winchester, which has been creating memories for generations. They have loved seeing their little customers grow up and have children of their own, only to return and take a trip down memory lane. Alison and her team would like to thank all the lovely customers for the support over the years." The Chronicle has contacted the store to find out more, but awaits a response.
The new layout at Junction 9. It's not as complicated as Spaghetti Junction in the Midlands, but the Highway England proposals for Junction 9 at Winnall include major changes. New slip roads will be created or adjusted to separate through traffic on the A34 from the Winnall roundabout and its traffic lights. Initial concerns were that the preliminary plans would have seen local traffic from the roundabout wanting to head north onto the A33, having to cut across several lanes of carriageway in only around half a mile. The agency has altered the plans to remove that local traffic from the A34. The new southbound slips will be built, allowing A34 traffic to bypass the roundabout. Its supporters say that the £150 million scheme will ease congestion. Opponents say that in a few years the traffic levels will have risen to fill the increased capacity. Highways England has been holding webinars online, online meetings, to explain the proposals in more detail.
Steer tries his hoof at rugby on City Field. It wasn't so much a bull in a china shop as a steer on a rugby field. The large male animal was spotted on the loose at Winchester Rugby Club in Hyde by Javed Akhtar on his way to work. Javed told the Chronicle it looked totally confused. It looked like it wanted human contact. I drove past it and it seemed to follow my car. It ran off towards the river, but it couldn't get across. The male animal is a steer, not a bull, as it has been castrated. It is thought to have escaped from the Winnall Moors Nature Reserve near the rugby club. The steer attracted several comments on the Winchester Picks Facebook page. John Arango Jones posted on Facebook, "Cowpats all over the place this morning. Both my dogs thought it was Christmas and rolled in all of them. Smells like Yves Saint Laurent to them." Things were resolved at the end. Hampshire Wildlife Trust warden Rachel Remnant posted on Facebook that the steer was back where it should be. The trust uses the British white cattle to graze its nature reserves. They are well known for their docility and are now a common sight, and there's a wonderful picture of this rather lost, bewildered steer, beautiful whitey-grey colour, sort of walking by a picnic table and definitely trying to find its way somewhere else, I think.
Students' virtual performance sells 2,000-plus tickets. Peter Simmons College's student-led theatre troupe has launched its first virtual performance. The production, by A Company of Fools, is called The Rule of Three, a collection of three short pieces, two of which are by Agatha Christie. There's also a short film, When the Curtain Fell, highlighting the importance of protecting the arts after COVID-19. It was scheduled to take place after exams and, after going live at the end of May, had already issued nearly 2,000 tickets. The production has been student-led, from choosing the plays, running auditions and designing the set, to choosing costumes and props and scheduling rehearsals. Artistic director Libby Rhodes and creative director Sam Hunt came up with the idea of including When the Curtain Fell, which students also filmed and edited themselves. Libby said, "All of the cast and creatives have a passion for the arts and love the theatre. Many of them are hoping to go on to drama school and pursue a career in the theatre, so this has been an excellent opportunity for them to gain experience and work alongside other talented creatives. It's also a great opportunity to grow in confidence and make friends for life." Talking about some of the challenges faced, she added, "We started auditioning nearly 100 students in September and were hoping to perform to a live audience in December. However, due to COVID-19, we decided to film the performances and put them online. It has been incredible to witness the dedication, commitment and enthusiasm of all the casts and creatives, especially considering the challenging circumstances. We've all had to be very adaptable and focused, and I'm very proud of how understanding and motivated everyone has been throughout the entire process."
Forest art with a message. Abstract trees created by children and young people from schools across Hampshire are now on display outside Winchester Cathedral. More than 100 trees have been designed by 25 schools as part of a project to spark a wider conversation about climate change, supported by Hampshire County Council. The interactive Climate Change Forest art installation is adorned with drawings, sculptures, and recyclable and upcycled items such as plastic bottles and reclaimed wood, and can be viewed outside the cathedral until July the 5th. Each abstract tree on display has been created by pupils ranging from year R to year 11 and focuses on specific environmental issues from deforestation to carbon emissions, rising sea levels, air pollution, animal extinction, and plastic production. The installation includes bunting that shares pupils' written messages and QR codes that can be scanned with a smartphone to access further information about each artwork, such as voice clips of pupils sharing their personal message about climate change. Councillor Ros Chadd, Executive Lead Member for Children's Services, says, "When the County Council asked children and young people about their concerns for our county and its future, they told us it was climate change and they wanted to be more involved in raising awareness about this important issue and sharing their views. We are proud to have been able to support the voice of these young children and young people by helping schools to create their abstract trees over the last year." The Dean of Winchester, the Very Reverend Catherine Ogle, said, "I am delighted that we are able to showcase this important installation in the grounds of Winchester Cathedral. The artwork is particularly timely as global discussions take place around climate change, as it highlights that we cannot shy away from our responsibilities to care for the planet."
Massive potential for growth of county vineyards. Hundreds of jobs and millions of pounds of investment could be created by exploiting the potential of the South Downs National Park as a winemaking hub, according to a new report. The National Park, which stretches from Winchester to Beachy Head in East Sussex, has been home to winemakers since Roman times and currently has 51 vineyards and 11 wineries. But the report carried out by consultancy Vinescapes has found that at present only 0.4% of agricultural land in the national park is used for viticulture, where up to 34% could be suitable. The authors found that there had already been a 90% increase in vineyard coverage in the national park since 2016, with about 5 new vineyards being planted each year. These wine businesses employ 358 people and attract 33,000 visitors each year, contributing £24.5 million to the local economy and £54 million to the wider economy. The study identifies 39,700 hectares of land as being suitable for viticulture, and if only one-tenth of this land was to be used, it would be an area greater than the whole of the UK wine-growing sector, enabling the production of 22 million bottles of wine. The main commercial vineyards in central Hampshire are Hattingley Valley near Alresford, Rames near Cheriton, Cottonworth and Danebury near Stockbridge, and Exton and Hambledon in the Meon Valley. The report also suggests 800 full-time jobs could be created with a £127 million contribution to the UK economy, along with 75,000 visits by tourists if wine production doubles from its current size. Nick Heesman, a countryside and policy manager for the National Park Authority, which commissioned the study, said climate change could increase grape-growing opportunities in the region. He said commercial vineyards have existed in the National Park area since the 1950s, and there are references to vineyards in the region going back to Roman times. Then, as now, the special nature of the South Downs National Park provides a working landscape that helps produce world-class wines, and is a lovely photograph of Robert and Augusta Rames in their vineyard near Alresford in 2017. And what I find fascinating is that the vines are really high, I mean at least a foot above their heads, whereas in France the vines that you see are all about 3 or 4 foot high. Mm. A different procedure.
Pop-up shop to point out our independence. The smaller companies across Winchester city centre will be promoted throughout July. The Winchester Business Improvement District, BID, is launching Independent Business Month locally to offer support after a tough year. On July the 1st, outside City Museum, BID will install a pop-up shop called Number 1 Independent Street. Visitors will be able to pick up a free pocket map showing over 150 shopping and food and drink businesses across the city centre. Sarah Davis, Winchester Business Improvement District Manager, said, "The past 15 months have been particularly challenging for all businesses, but the resilience of the independent hospitality and retail sectors is really evident in Winchester. New businesses are being attracted to the city because of the collaborative, supportive nature of these businesses and their customers. To celebrate the month, Winchester BID has created a series of short films to showcase what it means to be an independent business. Bex Smith, owner of Open House Deli, said, "We love being an independent business in Winchester. We are all in it together and support each other like a family community. I remember when I have had to call another independent before to ask if we can borrow some milk when we've run out. A national celebration of independent businesses is our way of flying the flag for them in Winchester. Being in Winchester, we're surrounded by amazing produce and suppliers, which means we can truly celebrate being local and seasonal. We started out on a market stall, then came into this space, and some of these customers are still with us now." And there's a picture of Dr. Paul Spencer, who's executive director of Winchester BID, standing outside a large notice that says Independent, Winchester Independent Street, with a little map and a little flag.
Cyclists in Winchester in relay journey across nation. A team of cyclists set off from Winchester Cathedral as part of the next leg of a nationwide 2,000-mile ride to connect the country's 42 Church of England cathedrals. The inaugural cathedral cycle route, which started from Newcastle to coincide with Bike Week at the end of May, saw cyclists depart from Winchester to arrive at Salisbury on Sunday afternoon. Hundreds of cyclists have volunteered to ride the different legs of the trip, passing on a specially designed bronze baton, which depicts two hands reaching out to one another, symbolising the challenges that people have faced and continue to face as a result of the COVID pandemic. A group of 15 to 20 cyclists delivered the baton to Winchester on Sunday morning after completing a 29-mile route from Portsmouth Cathedral. Sue Reeves, Cathedral Cycle Champion at Winchester Cathedral, said, "I think the Cathedral Cycle Route is a fantastic idea. This ride celebrates the cycling community in Winchester and is a great way to promote the benefits of cycling to the whole city." The cathedral cycle route candle was lit and the Reverend Canon Roland Ream, Vice Dean and Canon Chancellor, said prayers for the cyclists. He said, "We are delighted to be part of the cathedral cycle route and support an initiative which promotes mental and physical well-being and creates new links to healthier activities and sustainable travel." That's accompanied by a photograph of the front of the cathedral with, it must be, two dozen cyclists, Canon Ream and the ubiquitous Steve Brine, MP for Winchester.
Stagecoach donation to the NHS. Stagecoach South has donated over £59,000 of excess change collected during lockdown to NHS charities together, COVID-19 appeal. In October 2020, the company announced that it had raised £31,967 under a temporary exact fare scheme. Now the scheme is finished. Stagecoach South have announced the final total of £59,406 has been raised between May 2020 and April 2021. The bus company encouraged the use of exact fare during the peak of the pandemic to provide reassurance for drivers and customers. Where change couldn't be given, the money was collected, ready to donate to the charity. Edward Hodgson, managing director, said, "We really appreciated customers' cooperation when the temporary exact fare scheme was in place. Most people are now paying online or with contactless, but we do recognise that some of our customers still rely on cash to pay for their journeys." NHS Charities Together is the umbrella organisation for the country's NHS charities and is the official national charity partner of the NHS with more than 230 NHS charity members. Ellie Orton, Chief Executive of NHS Charities Together, said, "We are so thankful to Stagecoach South for their incredible donation using excess change during lockdown. All money raised will go towards supporting our NHS staff, volunteers and patients, both practically and emotionally, now and in the longer term as the NHS recovers from the pandemic." And it's a photograph of Stagecoach South Operations Director Gordon Frost and matron Tanya Collis of Royal Hampshire County Hospital in Winchester, both masked up as they should be, but holding an enormous cheque, as in the size of the piece of paper that the money's written on. All very showing of what they've done, really.
Back in service to arrest nurse. A retired policeman went back into service to, in inverted commas, arrest a senior care home nurse. Detective Inspector John Arbour surprised Joby Varghese Thekan Vazakala by arresting him and holding him in custody at Colton Cares Abbots Barton in Winchester. Joby was at a staff meeting when John, wearing a mock black and white police hat, approached him. He formally charged Joby with what he described as offences of a most serious kind, including smiling too much and not having any grey hair at his age. Joby was then detained at an Abbots Barton cell, forced to wear a prison uniform and told that he would need to raise bail money of £300 before he could be released. A jokey message was circulated around the home confirming the arrest and explaining that Joby would be held in custody until bail was received. During his incarceration, Joby was put to work by various prison officers, carrying out tasks such as peeling potatoes for the kitchen and shredding paper for the home's administration team. Issuing an urgent appeal, Dee Lovewell, Abbots Barton home manager, said, "I'm calling for support to raise the £300 bail money so that Mr. Varghese Thekan Vazakala may be released under caution until his court hearing. He is a father of two and lives with his wife in Hampshire. Those close to him describe him as a friendly and likeable person. Everyone in the home is shocked by this turn of events." While Joby laboured away in jail, residents and colleagues responded to Dee's appeal by pledging contributions to the bail fund. Joby was also allowed a burner phone so he could quickly ring out for any donations from friends and contacts. In short order, more than £450 was raised, all for the home's nominated charity, Winchester Live at Home. On his release, Joby said, "It was all for a good cause, but I never want to peel another potato again." And there are two little pictures, one of the arresting officer with his mock police hat and the other one of Joby in a black and white striped T-shirt and a cap, and he's wearing a mask and he's got numbers underneath him.
MXGP organisers fail to meet requirements. A hugely popular motocross event near Winchester could still be cancelled. The British Motocross Grand Prix comes to Matterley Estate this weekend, but has not met the planning requirements. According to the South Downs National Park Authority, a spokesman said, "The authority has only recently been made aware of the upcoming motocross event. The current planning permission requires the organisers to submit an event management plan at least 60 days before the event for approval. This is to allow the authority sufficient time to liaise with appropriate specialists to ascertain whether the EMP is acceptable. In addition, the authority requires the organiser to detail the bird deterrent measures which have been undertaken in advance of the event. In both cases, the information has been submitted outside of the required timetable, which is regrettable, albeit we are aware the pandemic has meant many events are on, off, on, which we recognise as a challenge. The authority is working closely with other bodies to assess the information in advance of the event and is awaiting further information from the organisers. The authority is not yet in a position to approve the submitted details and thus are not in a position to confirm about the likelihood of whether the event will go ahead. As reported in this newspaper last week, organisers had also planned to close off the Chesfoot Head car park. It is unclear whether this has been approved by Hampshire County Council. The Chronicle has contacted the authority and GP organisers and awaits a response. Event organisers have written to local organisations outlining the traffic and noise management that will be put in place over the weekend.
COVID edging up across district. COVID infection rates are now increasing across most of the Winchester district and Hampshire. There are now only 4 out of 14 areas of the district with fewer than 2 cases in the 7 days to Friday, June the 18th. They are Winchester West and East, Oliver's Battery and Hursley, and Springvale and Itchen Abbas. They are still marked white on the government map. The worst affected area is Stanmore, with a rate per 100,000 of 73.7, followed by Alsford with 59.1. Like a competition. In the Winchester district, in the 7 days to June the 18th, there have been 44 cases, an increase of 18 on the previous 7 days, or 69%, for a rolling number of 35.2. But across the 315 local authority areas of the UK, there are only 46 with a better figure than Winchester. The Delta or Indian variant is being blamed for the increase, as it is much more easily transmissible than previous strains. No deaths have been reported in the Winchester district for 112 days since March the 3rd. No deaths have been reported in the area covered by the Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust. That includes the Royal Hampshire County Hospital for 60 days. The numbers of its patients who have died remains at 439. Hampshire Hospital is currently caring for 4 COVID patients. Some 79.9% of adults in the district have received their first dose of vaccine, slightly below the UK average of 81.9%. For second doses, it's 60.1%, just above the national average of 59.8%.
And a drop in fines as restrictions ease. Hampshire Constabulary has issued more than 2,500 fines for breaches of COVID-19 related laws, but far fewer have been handed out since restrictions eased. Just 79 fines have been handed out in the past month to May the 16th. This is 443 fewer than the 522 processed in the previous 5 weeks. Human rights campaign groups say rapidly changing rules and chaotic communications have led to confusion over the fine system nationally, with some people unaware they were breaking the law. Figures published by the National Police Chiefs Council, NPCC, reveal a total of 2,647 fixed penalty notices were issued by Hampshire Constabulary between March the 27th last year and May the 16th this year. The latest figures cover the easing of restrictions on April the 12th, which saw the return of outdoor hospitality, non-essential retail and gyms, as well as the rule of 6 outdoors. However, they do not cover the May the 17th reopening, which saw different households allowed to mix indoors for the first time in months. Of the fines issued in Hampshire between March the 27th last year and May the 16th this year, the majority, 2,570, were recorded under legislation which covers the restriction of movement and large gatherings. Under other COVID-19 related regulations, there were 30 for failing to wear a face covering when required and 10 for breaching international travel rules, with 34 for breaking business regulations.
City's 13th Chamber Music Festival. There was a definite buzz in the socially distant queue outside St Paul's Church in Winchester. An excited, masked audience, starved of live music, top-quality musicians eager to play in a live concert again, and a beautifully newly renovated church made for a heady mixture. Combine this with a deftly crafted programme whereby repeated concerts were tailored to showcase wonderful playing of both familiar favourites and unknown gems, and we were ready to enjoy a remarkable 13th Winchester Chamber Music Festival. It's hard to single out pieces or players, but memorable moments include the first few glorious notes played by Robert Plain at the start of the Brahms Clarinet Quintet, the poignant hushed ending of Messiaen's Quartet for the End of Time, so beautifully played by violinist David Adams, and the lilting, gentle, slow movement of the rarely heard Fauré Piano Trio from the London Bridge Trio. Pianist Tim Horton's rendering of the Weber Piano Quartet was sparkling in its exuberance, and the energy and musical generosity of Gary Pomeroy, no retiring viola player here, and the panache of Lucy Gould's violin playing in Bartok's contrasts are all equal contenders. St Paul's Church is now all set to become a favourite venue for music in Winchester. Light and airy, it has an excellent acoustic and all the facilities that concert organisers can usually only dream of. All that is missing now is a grand piano worthy of the venue. But the festival has hired a wonderful fazioli for the weekend, thanks to the generosity of one of its many supporters, friends and patrons. Thank you to Artistic Director Kate Gould for her wonderful cello playing, and especially for bringing such vibrant and memorable festival to her home city of Winchester. If you missed these live concerts, there's a chance to hear them all online from June the 18th. Tickets and further details available from Winchester Chamber Music, that's one word, winchesterchambermusic.com.
Winchester visits to see post-COVID tourism recovery. A government minister has enjoyed a tour of Winchester's tourism spots as the city bounces back from the COVID pandemic. Tourism Minister Nigel Huddleston visited some of the city's top visitor attractions during a trip on Monday. The MP for Mid Worcestershire was given guided tours of the Great Hall and Winchester Cathedral and accompanied by Winchester MP Steve Brine. Mr. Huddleston's visit comes in light of the government's National Tourism Recovery Plan, which aims to assist and accelerate the tourism sector's recovery from COVID-19. Mr. Brine said, "It was great to have Nigel here and to show him some of the special places we have on offer. We do need to kickstart domestic tourism after a terrible 15 months, and there's no better place to start than Winchester. The fact remains so much tourism is from overseas visitors, and the locals tend to miss out because it's just where we live and our thoughts often turn to further afield. Out of necessity, as much as anything else, it's time to change that in 2021, and frankly, we need to because our tourism industry needs the help." Andrew Bateman, tourism manager from Hampshire County Council and Visit Hampshire, joined the MP and a minister on a visit.
Group to climb highest peaks and cycle between summits. Four gentlemen, three peaks and two wheels each. 3 months ago, Jake Kendall Ashton of Bishop's Waltham did not even own a bicycle. But by the end of the month, the 28-year-old will set out on a 500-mile cycle from North Wales to the Scottish Highlands, in between climbing mountains. Typically, the challenge involves climbing the highest mountain in each of Scotland, England and Wales in 24 hours and driving between each summit. Yet Jake and three of his friends are attempting to also pedal the 500 miles that separates the summits of Snowdon, Scarfell Pike and Ben Nevis. He said, "I signed up to the challenge in February, despite not even owning a bike. I managed to buy one second-hand in March, and though I definitely still wouldn't class myself as a cyclist, it just seemed like too good a challenge to miss out on. Plus, we're fundraising for three really great causes. The team of four, who have called themselves the Peaky Cyclers, are aiming to complete their pedal-powered feat over 5 days. They will be unsupported, camping along the way and carrying all supplies on their bikes. Through their marathon cycle and climbs, they are hoping to raise £2,000 for three charities personally close to each of them: Dementia UK, Mind, and Cancer Research. I sadly lost my grandpa to dementia in 2018, and I've seen firsthand how cruel a disease it is and how vital it is to support carers, which is why the work Dementia UK do is so close to my heart, added Jake. Also, after the past year we've lived through with the pandemic, there seems to be more awareness than ever about looking after your mental health, which is why we're supporting Mind, while we have all likely been touched by cancer at some point. Thinking about the causes we're raising money for has certainly motivated me through the intense training I've been putting in. I've cycled around 900 miles in training so far, and I'm hoping it'll spur us all on during the challenge itself too. And there's a picture of Jake and Kendall Ashton on his bike during a training run.
Nearly 24,000 criminal court cases collapse. More criminal offences in Hampshire last year failed to reach court after alleged victims withdrew support, figures reveal. Campaigners and the Labour Party say crime victims across England and Wales are being let down by the justice system due to spiralling delays and a lack of support. Home Office data shows that of 133,336 offences closed by Hampshire Constabulary last year, 23,892 fell through after the alleged victim did not support further action. Rachel Almeida, Assistant Director of Victim Support, said the trend across England and Wales was a huge cause for concern. The criminal justice process relies on victims to report crimes, assist with investigations, and give evidence in court, she said. Large rises in victims not supporting action presents a very serious challenge to the whole system. Ms. Almeida said the factors driving the rise were complex and could include concerns about long waits for a trial or a lack of confidence in the justice system more generally. She added, "What is clear is that too often victims' care has been seen as a nice to have rather than a core component of the process. This must change. Addressing victim attrition must be made a priority by the government through improving victims' treatment and faith in the justice process."
Showcase of pothole repairing machinery. Community leaders have attended a demonstration of a new machine which could revolutionise the fixing of Hampshire's chronic pothole problem. In West End, Hampshire County Council was given a demonstration of the new Pothole Pro, JCB's new revolutionary pothole and patch fixer. The company launched the JCB Pothole Pro earlier this year, which it claims can repair a pothole in less than 8 minutes, 4 times quicker than the standard methods, and at half the cost of current solutions. Hampshire Highways is a collaboration between Hampshire County Council and Milestone Infrastructure, took part in a week-long demonstration last week across Hampshire, where the machine repaired in excess of 250 square metres of patches in the road. After seeing the new machine in action last Wednesday, Hampshire County Council Executive Member for Highways Operations, Councillor Russell Oppenheimer, said, "From the demonstration seen, it is clear that this machinery is effective in making a quick, clean and efficient repair. It will be interesting to understand more about the cost effectiveness over time, but the potential for increasing the speed of repair is appealing. According to JCB, the pothole pro allows the contractor or local authority to cut the defect, crop the edges and clean the hole with one machine, delivering up to a 50% cut in daily costs. Paul Swallow, JCB Pothole Pro General Manager, said, "It's been a hugely successful trial in Hampshire this week, and I'm confident that everyone involved got to see just how effective the JCB Pothole Pro is at fixing potholes and patches permanently and at half the cost of current solutions. Potholes are a huge concern for councils all over the country, and one of the issues with repairs at the moment is that in most cases they are only short-term fixes, and that's where the JCB Pothole Pro differs."
Biscuit thanks from school for vaccinators. A school in Chandler's Ford has thanked a nearby vaccine centre for its efforts with a delivery of biscuits. Sherborne House donated an assortment of homemade treats to the centre at St Peter's Church, Shakespeare Road. Run in partnership with the Boyart Wood Pharmacy, the centre contacted the school during lockdown, offering its over 50 and vulnerable teaching staff vaccinations. This helped to prevent waste of the vaccine as batches reached the use-by date. Owners Mitesh and Bhavini Patel had children at Sherborne House School, whilst existing parent Shadi Ganjavian Connor and her daughter Farah, a current Year 6 pupil, volunteered at the centre helping with the vaccination effort. Cordelia Cripps, the deputy head teacher at Sherborne House, went along with Farah on Monday to present the batch to the on-duty medics at the centre as a thank you for their support. Mrs. Cripps said, "We just wanted to express our thanks in a small way to both Mr. and Mrs. Patel and all the staff and volunteers for supporting key workers in the local area, but perhaps also brighten the day of those getting their second or first jab this week."
Club president to cycle round Ireland. Both codes of rugby have been hard hit in recent years by the cruel neurological wasting condition, motor neuron disease. Former Scotland and Lions rugby union second row Doddy Weir and past Leeds, England and Great Britain rugby league scrum half and hooker Rob Burrow are both battling the disease. To contribute to the cause, Winchester Rugby Club president Rob Sanderson has been invited to join the Great Rugby Cycle 2021 on behalf of the My Name's Doddy Foundation. At 64 years old, he will be cycling with past Scottish and Irish rugby internationals, and the select group of 34 will leave Stormont in Belfast on Thursday, July the 1st, to travel the 1,000-mile anti-clockwise route around the coast of Ireland, returning to Belfast 10 days later. "Training has gone well," says Rob, "although this will be the toughest challenge I've attempted since I took up cycling 6 years ago. I'm told it's the cycling equivalent of running 10 marathons in 10 days, and being the oldest participant, I'm excited and apprehensive in equal measure. I've cycled 100 miles a day before, but never done it 10 times on consecutive days." Rob lost his wife, Kate, to MND in December 2014 when she was only 50. So both rugby and the disease have had a big impact on his life. He has organised cycling events around Hampshire to raise awareness of MND and funds for research into a cure. "Great advances have been made in the last 5 years," he says. "I hope that people will add to the fundraising and offer me support for the Round Ireland Challenge by sending donations to justgiving.com/fundraising/Rob-at-Sanderson. So far, £575 has been raised by 12 supporters. And there's a picture of Rob Sanderson with his black Labrador dog, but it doesn't say whether the dog's taking part in the cycling.
Park Run poised to resume in Winchester. Park Run is poised to return to Winchester soon. As soon as national restrictions are lifted, the community running event is set to resume in Winchester. Currently, the event is due to start again on Saturday, July the 24th. David Watson, event director, said permission had been given by the City Council for the weekly event to resume at North Walls Rec. Mr. Watson said, "Winchester Parkrun is ready to start as soon as Parkrun HQ gives us the go-ahead. We have an amazing group of volunteers that are excited to get going. We have also had brilliant support from Winchester City Council, who were one of the first landowners in the country to give permission for a parkrun to restart. And they continue to support us to ensure that we have a future as a free event, providing huge health and well-being benefits to the Winchester community." Mr. Watson said the North Walls Rec was large and flexible enough to run a safe event that complies with COVID restrictions.
Police appeal. Three teenage boys tried to steal a 17-year-old girl's handbag in an attempted robbery at a nature reserve. Police are appealing for witnesses, including a couple who helped the girl, following the incident at Flexford Reserve, Chandler's Ford, on Thursday, June the 17th. Officers say the girl was walking toward the Flexford Reserve from the direction of Rabelais Cemetery. As she crossed the footbridge above the railway line, she was approached by three teenage boys, two of whom took hold of her wrists, while the third tried to take her bag. The three teens were scared off by a couple walking their dogs. Nothing was taken, and the girl was not injured. Police want to speak to three boys who were seen in the area at the time. A police spokesman said, "We're also keen to identify the couple who were out walking their dogs and helped the victim. They are described as being aged between 50 and 70, with a black Labrador and a golden retriever. We would like to hear from anyone who was in the area at the time and may have seen or heard anything, or has dashcam or CCTV footage that may have captured the offenders. If you have any information, call 101.
Cyclist dies a week after crash. A cyclist has died in hospital a week after a collision on a country road near Sparsholt. The cyclist, a 59-year-old man from Eastleigh, suffered serious injuries and was taken to hospital after the collision at around 2:37 p.m. on Tuesday, June the 8th. It happened on Woodman Lane at the crossroads with Sarum Road, near to Crab Wood, and involved a Mini Cooper. A police spokeswoman told the Chronicle, "The man had died in Southampton General Hospital last Wednesday. His identity has not been released. His family are being supported by specialist officers." The Winchester coroner has been told, and an inquest is due to open soon. The road was closed for some time in both directions while officers carried out an investigation into the incident. Police are appealing for any information or dashcam footage from people who would have been in the area at the time of the crash. Anyone who might have any relevant information is asked to call 101.
Drug driver disqualified. A Winchester drug driver has been banned for 12 months. Beau Donald Thomas Butchers, 21, of Southgate Street, was in a Nissan Micra when stopped by the police on Moss Road, Winnell, on January the 11th this year, a court heard. When tested, Butcher's level for cannabis was more than 7 UG to 1, when the legal limit is 2. He admitted the charge and was disqualified from driving for a year, fined £120 with a £34 victim surcharge and £85 of costs. Magistrates in Basingstoke took no action over the breach of a suspended sentence imposed at Southampton Crown Court for wounding with intent.
And that happy item concludes the extracts for this week. Thank you to our editors, Angela Ling, Jane Thomas and Sue Ganaway. And thanks to our copying and dispatch and studio preparation teams. And thank you to our readers, Nikki Baring.
Goodbye.
And Vara Williams.
Goodbye.
And from me, Tom Williams, goodbye. And do enjoy the week ahead. Please post your memory sticks back as soon as possible in the yellow wallet. Thank you.